Good morning, everybody. I'm not Joshua, as is obvious. Joshua's in Methlick this morning as interim moderator, so I'm going to lead you through worship. Joshua will be preaching and will do the blessing for us. So welcome to everybody, whether you're worshipping here in person with us, whether you're worshipping through the streaming service or in Littlewood Court or on catch-up service. Come, let us worship God together. We have a very sad intimation this morning, and that we hear of the death of Mary Buchan this week.
It's a sad announcement indeed, and I'm sure you're all sending your prayers and thoughts to the Buchan family. Jim has asked me to read out this formal announcement. Suddenly, but peacefully, at home, after a long illness, on Wednesday, January the 4th, 2023, Mary, née Melvin, aged 66 years, beloved wife of James, much-loved mum of Fiona, Linda and Philip, dear mother-in-law to Richard and Laura, devoted grandma to Aria and Murray, and a dearly loved sister, sister-in-law and friend to many. Funeral service will be here in Kemney Parish Church on Friday, January the 13th at 12:30 p.m. thereafter to Kemney Churchyard. All family and friends are respectfully invited. Family flowers only, please, but donation, if wished, to the Aberdeen Liver Fund, which will be at the church door.
Let's pause for a moment to give thanks for Mary's life and witness, and to pray for her family in their loss. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought and brings light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He is full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we can see his glory, the glory of the Father's Son, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So let us worship together as we sing Jesus' name above all names, and we'll sing it through three times.
Thank you.
us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this new day, for the warm water to wash us in, the food that we ate and will eat, the clothes that keep us warm, for being able to come together to worship you, Lord, in person and digitally. Lord, you came into this world, your creation, in human form. You understand our human nature, and despite everything, you continue to love us. What kind of love is this that you gave your life, your death, and resurrection for us, that we might live? Live in a different way, your way. Your love, Lord, flows like rivers. Rivers that wash away our guilt and shame. And so we come, Lord, seeking your cleansing this morning for our wrongdoing and wrong thinking. Wash us clean, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amazing love. What sacrifice the Son of God given for each of us. For your gifts to each one of us, we thank you, Lord. In your hands, we trust that our contribution will expand your kingdom here on earth. Where we feel doubt, remind us of your power, faith, and previous answers to prayer. Where we feel insignificant, remind us of your great love for us. Where we feel incapable, remind us of what is possible with you. Show us, Lord, how 2023, we can use whatever we have, wherever we are, to build your kingdom and bring life to others. Amen. Now, I was told there would be no children here this morning. However, I didn't believe that. So I've just brought a few things. Do you know what time of the year it is now? It's after Christmas, it's after New Year. What happens next? Do you have any idea? No? Sorry. They can't hear me. What time of year is it? We've had Christmas, we've had New Year. What is the season of the in the Christian church now? It was actually two days ago. Any of you adults like to tell us? Epiphany, thank you. And do you know what Epiphany is about? It's a big word, isn't it? Nope. It means, it's from a Greek word which means to celebrate. And it's a celebration of the star that led the wise men or the magi to Jesus. And this was the first time that Jesus was shown to Gentiles. I didn't know that until just recently, but I thought this is very interesting. And they brought some gifts with them. Do you remember what the gifts were? Gold. Gold. Myrrh. And what was the other one? Do you want to come and smell the frankincense? See what you think.
Hey! as it was, going to work, doesn't release another pollen, which is very sad. This is what you get when you have youngsters who fly the nest and go far away. My son was in Yemen, and he brought back frankincense and myrrh a number of years ago, just to remind his mother of where the Magi came from. And I thought I would share it with you this morning. If you want to come and smell the frankincense later, you're very welcome to do so, those of us who are children under about 102. Let's sing together again. Before we sing, I should just tell you that gold is a symbol of kingship on earth. And that's what Jesus was, wasn't he? He was a king on earth. Very different kind of king. Frankincense is an incense. In other words, it's got a beautiful smell. And it's a symbol of his divinity. In other words, his godliness. And it's also a symbol of worship. And the myrrh is still used as an embalming oil in the Middle East. And it's a symbol of Jesus' humanity. So, let's sing now. In heavenly love abiding. I can't remember the rest of it now. Just listen to the words as you sing it. Especially the line, my Saviour is my treasure, and he will walk with me. And if you really feel this is true, maybe you could smile.
Today is from Ephesians chapter 1 and reading from verse 1. I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
So let's join together in worship as we sing the praise of him who died.
Good morning, friends. It's nice to be with you, even if only through technology today. As you can see, the Christmas tree is still up because I'm recording this on Epiphany, which marks the end of the Christmas season. And so most folk by now are getting their trees down and getting back to normal rhythm of life. But I have to confess, here in the manse, we're not always the best about getting the tree down on time. That's mostly because we love the twinkling lights, and it gives a source of cheer as we continue to wait for brighter and warmer days. So let's pause now and pray together as we prepare to reflect on God's word. Loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of this time together. We thank you for the gift of your written word to us. And we thank you that your whole word points to the reality and love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So as we can consider today's text, may you open our minds and our hearts and our souls to the truth of your word. And may this time draw us closer to Jesus and make us more and more like him. We pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. So I have a question to start today. What is really real? What is really real? Some years ago, during my graduation ceremony from university back in the United States, this was the question asked by Dr. Forrest Baird, who is professor of philosophy at Weymouth University. What is really real? And that sounds like the kind of question a philosophy professor might ask, and it might tempt us to roll our eyes and ask, what a silly question. We all know what is really real. What's going on here? But maybe, just maybe, it isn't a silly question. We all like to think we know what is really real. We all, to some degrees, have our bodily senses, up to 5 of them. You know, we have our gut instincts. We have our brains, all of which tell us what is really real. We also have our past experience as well to help us understand what is really real. There's just one problem. Our senses, our experiences, our guts and our brains are all limited things. Every part of who we are is impacted by our human nature, which, whether we admit it or not, is broken and sinful. No one's exempt from this, right? I like the imagery that one of the early church fathers, Augustine of Hippo, gives, where he talks about there's like a cloud around our senses. And Augustine would say it's a cloud of sin. We could say a cloud of brokenness that kind of obscures the truth from us, that until God removes this cloud, you know, and helps us to see things as they are, we can't really know what is really real, right? This isn't the end of the story. God has given us a great gift of Holy Scripture, and through the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through the words into our lives, transforming us, Scripture shows us what is really real. Namely, the offer of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most really real thing of all. And I think in different ways, every part of Scripture reminds us of what is really real. And no part of Scripture does this better, at least, than Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This first part of which we heard read a few minutes ago. And here in Chemnay, over the next several weeks, we're going to do what I'm going to call a deep dive into this letter. A deep dive. So as we continue another new year, I think we will all do well to spend time in Ephesians. It's just 6 chapters, but there is so much in here for us to consider and to learn from that I hope as we ponder this letter together, we will all stay rooted in the really real reality of God's saving work in Jesus Christ. So in this letter to the Ephesians, we are drawn into what is really real. And later on in this first chapter, Paul tells us exactly what he is praying that we will see when he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. Now, just a word about this letter to the Ephesians. As we might know, every single one of Paul's letters was addressed to a specific person or to a specific place, to the saints in Rome, the saints in Corinth, Galatia, to Timothy, to Titus, places and people and so on, right? And Ephesians, in one way, is quite different. Yes, we have this text in front of us that says, to the saints in Ephesus, right? Yeah. But the earliest manuscripts we have of the New Testament do not have those words in Ephesus. They're likely a later addition to the text. And then what does this mean? It means that the letter that we know and we have in our Bibles as Ephesians was probably a type of a chain letter that Paul sent around to all of the churches under his care, right? But this little fact, it changes nothing about the letter's meaning or its authority. It's still very much the Word of God. And what this means is this letter to the Ephesians, its entire message is directly addressed to Christians in every time and in every place. And that's true of the whole New Testament, but I think it's especially true of Ephesians. We're free to put our own names and our own place in this letter. So it's not too much for us to read Ephesians 1, 1 through 2 like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Chemne, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's focus on these two verses of today's reading. And let's consider what God may be wanting us to hear from these today, focusing especially on these opening verses. After he introduces himself to us, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, how does he address his audience, those who are hearing or reading these words? What does he call them? He calls them an S word, saints. Now, I think maybe we all have a picture or an idea in our minds of what it might mean to be a saint. You might think of someone who seems perfect, nearly so. But this is not what the New Testament means, not what Paul means when he calls his listeners saints. Instead, a saint is someone who is claimed by God. A saint isn't claimed because of virtue, talents, or good looks. Instead, a saint is claimed by God's free, gracious choice. Put it another way, saints are saints because of who God is, not because of who they are. And after Paul acknowledges where they live, in Ephesus, in Chemne, Paul refers to his listeners as faithful in Christ. Faithful in Christ. Now, on the one hand, Paul is acknowledging here that every single believer comes from somewhere unique. He's acknowledging that the Ephesian saints are shaped, their faith is even shaped by being in Ephesus. And the same is true for us. Our lives are shaped where we live as well. Being from Chemne shapes our lives, and we have to admit it shapes how we live out our faith as well. We're social, contextual beings. We're shaped by our environment. There's nothing wrong with this, just how it is. But Ephesians reminds us and insists on this, that wherever we're from, whether from Ephesus or Chemne or somewhere else, that God is at work in the life of every saint, especially in the particularities of our lives and our places. But he doesn't stop there. Paul acknowledges where we are from. He's also insistent that we do not end there. God loves us far too much to leave us where we are at. We're called to something greater. We're called to more holiness, to more purity, to more Christ-like living. We're called to transformation. We're called to look beyond where we are to the greater picture of God's coming kingdom. And I think this is what Paul is going after when he addresses the saints as the faithful in Christ. In Christ. Throughout Ephesians, Paul uses the phrase in Christ a total of 36 times. 36 times. And when I was studying for the ministry, one of my teachers was very fond of saying, you know, when the Bible repeats itself, you have to pay attention. 36 times in Christ. And so by calling the saints the faithful in Christ, Paul's reminding each of us where we truly belong. As believers, we do not ultimately belong to Kemne. We do not ultimately belong to the Church of Scotland. Our ultimate loyalty is not to a building or to an institution. Kemne could disappear tomorrow. The Church of Scotland could close its doors tomorrow. But none of that would change who God has called and made us to be. The saints, the faithful in Christ. We have our real and only home in Jesus. We have our real and only purpose in Jesus. We have our real and only hope in Jesus, in nothing and in no one else. So wherever we go, whatever we do, we have to remember that we have our identity in Him. So Paul continues to address these faithful in Christ saints by writing grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. At the time when Ephesians was written, grace to you was, this was a greeting common to Gentiles, right, to non-Jews. So these words would have struck a chord with those Gentiles, those non-Jews who heard and read Paul's words. Grace to you, he says. And then the word peace, the Hebrew equivalent is shalom. This was a common greeting between Jews. And these words, peace to you, would have struck a deep chord with those Jews who heard Paul's words at the time. We have to remember the church at the time this letter was written was diverse, comprising both Jew and Gentile. And as we see in chapter 2 of Ephesians, it was a terribly divided church as well. So by extending grace to you, peace to you, Paul was reminding his listeners that there is room in the church. There is room in the church for all who repent and all who place faith and hope in Jesus. And the same is true today. And this grace to us, this peace to us, is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So in these closing words, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is setting the stage, I think, for the rest of this letter. He's already pointing towards the heart of the gospel. He's pointing us, in other words, to go back to our earlier theme, he's pointing us towards what is really real. To live as believers, we need to have a Christ-saturated vision of reality. That is what I think Ephesians and the rest of Scripture wants to offer us. So as we begin this deep dive into Ephesians over the rest of January and onwards, I challenge each of us to prayerfully read through the rest of this letter. Take time to sit with it. Let this teaching on grace to you, peace to you, let it seep into our souls. Let us words about overcoming division shape who we are. Let us words about holding fast to faith and not being blown about by every wind of doctrine. May these words encourage us. Let us teaching about marriage and family life instruct us anew. Let us teach about the armor of God, remind us that God gives us everything we need to live as believers where we are at. And at the start of this new year of 2023, let's embrace God's word anew. Let's live together to what is really real. If we can do that, what a blessed, transformative, and Christ-centered 2023 we will have. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's sing again together. The hymn is Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning. And you've heard what Joshua was saying, so this is for us to sing now.
We are all in God's plan. Let us praise God's glory. Let us pray. It's January 2023, a new year, new hope. Knowing you are by our sides always gives us comfort and confidence as we look forward to facing a better future. But for some, the end of 2022 was a difficult time, with cold temperatures and rising food prices. Eking out what money was to hand was and is a constant battle. Worrying times. Dear Lord, help us to be aware of those who are struggling so that we can support and help them in any way possible, ensuring them that they are not forgotten or alone during these cold, frosty winter months. Help us, Lord, to be more outward-looking, helping others and also caring for our environment. The higher-than-normal temperatures in Europe have meant less snow for the hardy skiers, but it also underlines the damage we are inflicting on our planet. Remind us all, Lord, we are only custodians of your planet, and we must preserve it for future generations. Christmas has been a time to celebrate Jesus' birth, but also a time of collective family and village get-togethers. But for some, it has been an anxious, traumatic period for those suffering illness, stress, and bereavement. May we, in silence, take time to remember those we know. We especially mention the families of Jake Stewart and our close friend, Mary Buchan. May they be assured you are with them and that your stillness and peace permeate their aching hearts as you encircle them with your love. Our local children return to school this week. Be with them and the school's staffs. Encourage all ages to develop inquiring minds, to marvel at this wonderful world with its transforming beauty, never static, ever changing. For us too, life never stands still, but keeps evolving. And despite the rapid technological changes, we too can move forward, maybe in less detail, embrace new things, explore new situations, new places. In Britain, we are seeing strikes, and more strikes. Negotiations begin tomorrow. New hope? Dear Lord, guide all those in positions of authority to forget party divisions and discuss and agree the best way forward to alleviate these crises. And despite a promised three-day ceasefire, Ukraine continues to be bombarded by Russia's missiles, leaving many buildings, electricity, and water supplies fractured. Please, Lord, continue to support the Ukrainians' courage and bolster their resolve to defend their homeland. May they be reassured that you are with them always. We in Kemeny celebrate the birth of Andrei, a Ukrainian-Scottish baby who was born here to Dasha and Sasha just before Christmas. May his early life be restful here in Kemeny and filled with lasting friendships, so that when he does return with his parents to Ukraine, he will thrive in a peaceful country. We hope that they, like Thor the walrus, will get there eventually. Lord, may your dove of peace continue its challenging flight around the world As we say together the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. Let's finish our worship this morning by singing The Lord's My Shepherd. And after that, Joshua will say the blessing for us.
Friends, what is really real? Scripture is clear. God's love and grace revealed in Jesus Christ, these are the things that are really real. As we go into this week, may God give us a Christ-saturated vision of reality. May we hear these words, grace to you and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. May we live into these words. May we claim them as our own, as saints, faithful in Christ, those whom God has called and claimed. So may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing rest upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore. Amen.